Welcome to Twisted Plot Podcast. Here is your host, Evelyn Marley.
So when, and I've heard people say this, like, take the notifications off your phone. And yeah, that's like easily said, but you still know that there's going to be some type of interaction at some point. And then when you do have that, it's very much, even if it's like you said, a friend messaging you, that's a call to action because you inevitably want to return the conversation, right? You want to go and respond to that person. And so without it being a call to action, how do we make it not a call to action for ourselves? We can say, I have to respond, but then not forget and then go back to it. So it's all of those things wrapped up into one.
Yeah. And you want to know what's crazy? I have had do not disturb and no notifications on my phone for probably like 4 years. And I'm the quickest person to respond to people. So I feel like I need to turn them back on because I'm constantly checking because they aren't on. So I'm almost like hyper checking, and now it's just a habit. I've noticed that, but I hate the sound, so I can't stand a buzz or anything. But then there's the other like school of thought with email where it's like, well, if you read the email, just reply, because otherwise you're like wasting your time and doing double work. So I kind of like that thought as well, instead of like mark on red and then it's still just sitting in there when you could have just replied. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that sense of urgency, like we need to tone it down, and I need to tone it down. Like nothing, not everything can be urgent. And so it's hard. And then the remembering, like, because text and stuff, so easy to just not go back to it.
I've heard two things about helping with that. Number one is dedicate 2 times a day where you check the emails. I'm sure you've heard of that one before.
Right. Does anyone actually do that?
I don't know. I can't do that. And then the second one was if it takes 2 minutes, you know, if you know it'll take 2 minutes, just reply, which is, again, in theory, a great idea. But different emails require different responses. And right. Then you have the mental load of thinking about how you want to respond. And depending on how you're feeling that day, it's going to affect how long it's going to take for you to respond.
Right, right.
So all those things wrapped up into one means that there's no magic silver bullet. We have to figure out what works for us, and what works for us today might not work for us tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, just back to what you're saying, inventory, check in with yourself, and everything is customized based on that.
Ooh, customized day. Every day we wake up and it's like a customized day. It's a customized day. How are you feeling today? What's coming up? But that's so true. It's like this idea of counterbalance that I've heard, where balance might not be achievable because you're trying to balance all the things at once. But what about counterbalance? Where can you put more in here when you know you can take away from this bucket to put more in here? I like that because I think that gives us a little bit more focus on one area, and we can then go back to the other area when we feel this area has been taken care of, whatever it could be.
Right, right. So true. Because we always try to do, I always try to do everything at full scale at the same time. And that doesn't really, of course, it was not on Do Not Disturb right now. So I just heard it. But yeah, we always try to do everything at full scale, and that doesn't work really either.
Oh, hey, hey, everybody. Hey, this is Kat. Can you just pronounce your last name? Because I always feel like with Greek names, we want to go, and I don't know which last name that you're going by. So Kat.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm pronouncing it like very American, but it's Paraskevopoulos.
Uh-huh.
And that's my maiden name. So my father's last name and my husband's last name is Kalkavoudas. So my Instagram is Kat Kalkas, which is his abbreviated last name.
Got it.
So okay. That's where the two names, yeah, kind of merge, which merge is a little confusing, but it sounds, I like Kat Kalkus as a,
yeah,
you know, how it sounds. So
I like it too. So Kat Kalkus, I'm just going to go with that for now, yeah, right? So you, yeah, guys will be able to find her on Instagram. You won't be like, yeah. So Kat, yeah, Kalkus is a friend. I met her through Instagram, everybody, but there's something very special about how we met because somehow I was talking to a niece of mine and I was telling her about Kat and she was kind of like, you know Kat? And I said, well, you know Kat? And we both kind of stared at each other for a second and then we realized, oh, we both know this person. How do we know this person? Well, I met her through Instagram and my niece actually met her by, you guys, you went to school together? Is that right? Or you,
well,
she found you also and you just had a connection.
Well, we have two devil connections. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And that's my other niece on the other side of my family. She also, I found a picture of you two together on Facebook when I was sending a happy birthday message to my niece, my other niece, on the other completely different family, you guys. And Kat also knows that niece. So I have two separate nieces who know Kat, and Kat and I didn't know each other at all.
Yeah, no, it's destined that we were meant to meet. But mm-hmm. yeah, so niece one that you're talking about was a client of mine, is a client of mine. Yes. Niece two, we went to high school together.
That's right.
But you discovered that information kind of far apart. So it just was like also really funny and random and crazy. And yeah, and so yeah. Meant to be.
Beautifully divine. And I also want to state that I found this information well after we had met online, had a great conversation. We were talking about her move to Greece. Yes, she used to live close to where I live right now, and then she moved to Greece. So I was just chatting with her. I wanted to know everything about, you know, her move and what she's doing because Kat is she does wellness retreats in Greece and other countries as well as she's a coach. And she is currently developing some type of special program. I don't know if you're going to talk about it today, but something else in the works to help those who want to navigate coming to Greece, whether it's travel or maybe long-term. I don't know. We'll see. But it's definitely a beautiful Instagram account that she's curated and a business to help any of those who want to take the leap into going to Greece and don't know where to start. And I thought, you guys know I'm Greek. You all know that, right? So we both have this connection and we both really just want to bring more awareness and understanding of what it means to come to travel to Greece. And so she agreed to come on here and just talk a little bit about her story. And she's got some beautiful tips about going to Greece that we're going to dive into. So this is the episode for you. If you're like, I want to go to Greece, where do I go? Do I just go to Santorini? Do I just go to Mykonos? This is the one for you to listen to because she's going to really go deep on this. But first, Kat, I want to know how you plot twisted your way. Everybody's got a plot twist. Everybody's got a twist of fate that happens that kind of pushes them to their next journey. So what plot twisted your way into doing what you're doing now, living in Greece, all that good stuff?
In preparing for this podcast, I was kind of thinking, is there a shorter way to say my plot twist? But probably not, as most plot twists go. But I think, thank you for the introduction, by the way, and for having me. And you did a really great job because, yeah, I'm multi-passionate. I do a lot of different things. Greece is a main thread. And so excited to talk more about that with you. And yeah, so I think just going off of that, Greece has been a big thread in my life, being half Greek, traveling here in the summer. And then when I met my now partner, actually here in Greece, almost 10 years ago, it's going to be 10 years this September, mm-hmm. it really, you know, expanded my love for the country and my relationship with Greece, and also Greece being another place of healing for me, and healing in a lot of different ways, emotional, food freedom with my body, learning about myself. And so so Greece has been this thread that's been growing in my life. And then we have the wellness piece, which is a part of my life as well, and something I've been passionate about and helping people. And it's funny, a lot of people ask me, like, what do you mean by wellness, or what's a wellness retreat?
Yeah.
And it's really that umbrella term for holistic well-being. And whole person wellness. And so, and so the retreats will talk about our variety of concepts, have different kind of programming, but really looking at the holistic, you know, self and, you know, mind, body, soul, if we were to like sum it up in terms that people are familiar with. And so I was, side hustling, working with people more in the fitness and personal training space, into holistic nutrition, overall wellness, holistic wellness coaching. And so when I started thinking about, what I really wanted to do and what would be a dream, I thought, oh my gosh, what if I combine Greece and wellness and start hosting wellness retreats? And it was totally like one of those light bulb moments. And I guess the beginning of the plot twist. And a lot of times I think those ideas just stay in the journal or stay somewhere in the back of the head. And I just kept kind of coming back to it. And one day was like, I'm going to get out of my own way. I kept coming up with all these reasons like, oh, I need to do this first, or I need this experience, or first I should do a local retreat. But I was like, but I don't want to do all that. I want to do a retreat in Greece. So why don't I just skip to that point and try it? So that was 2019.
Wow.
And really after doing that first retreat was the seed started growing of, Greece being more of a base for me. And then really the plot twist for all of us was COVID and having that reevaluation and that time, you know, not in the hustle bustle. I used to commute every day. So I was a lot of hours away, a lot of hours side hustling. And so it was a little bit of time for us to regroup. And the idea just grew more and more and more of like, what would that look like? How would that feel? Where do we see ourselves in the next years? And so I was like, at first a little hesitant, like, okay, can we actually do that? And then basically over the course of 3 years, we moved finally March 2023, we were able to bring it all together. And of course, travel came back full speed, able to grow EA retreats and the retreats. And also we do custom travel planning and design for those who maybe don't want to come on a retreat experience, but are interested in traveling to Greece. And as you said, don't know where to start, what to do, you know, want someone who knows what's going on here and has the recommendations to design and plan everything based on their, you know, vacation vision. So I didn't quite answer because it's such a big story, but it basically was, yeah, I would say like 10 years in the making of ending up here.
Yeah, no. And everybody, Kat is my go-to, because I get a lot of people who ask me, okay, Evelyn, I'm going to Greece. What should I do? Where do I go? And that's such a big question. And as much as I want to take the time to help walk everybody through what they could do, I'm not a travel, liaison. I don't know how to help set that up or curate or cultivate that. I go to Greece, I go to see my family, and maybe if I have time, I go to an island. For the most part, I'm just sticking close to my family in that area of Greece. When I was younger, of course, I popped around to all the islands graciously and gratefully. I was able to do that. But now when I go, it's such a limited time. I'm just staying in one spot. And so I don't really know what's new and out there, those really popular islands, or maybe places to avoid those spaces too. And I don't want to steer anybody wrong. So I'm always like, Kat, talk to Kat. Here's Kat. And so I'm constantly just sending her people because I see the way that she's able to set up. She's so strategic and it's so well thought out for and curated. So and you did answer my question, but I'm also curious about when you did decide to make the leap, right? What was some conversation you had to have with yourself about actually doing the thing? Because I think a lot of the times imposter syndrome comes up and we're like, I don't know if I can do this. I haven't done it before. So what were some ways that you were talking to yourself to get you through actually taking action?
Yeah, such a great question. And it's different for all of us. So it's a process of getting to know your buttons and what helps you, what doesn't help you. And another thing, who helps you? And what I mean by that is when you have an idea or a dream, it's like a little ember, a little flame inside of you. And you'll begin to notice if you start paying attention, there's people who help amplify and flame that fire. And there's people who might make you feel like it's compressed or dimmed. And these might be all people who love you and support you, but for whatever reason, you know, that's the energy you're getting. And so I think that's a really important thing to take note of when you're, you know, about to take a leap, considering a leap, considering to put yourself out there, is really taking inventory of, you know, what's impacting you, what's flaming the flame, and what maybe makes that feel a little bit more compressed or even puts it out. So talking about the idea and asking advice, let's say from those around me that I knew would help flame the flame. Mm-hmm. So that was something that, you know, I was just kind of taking note of. And then for me personally, I was lucky because I kind of got to have these experiences leading up with the mindset of, okay, what if I lived here? So we were running retreats. So for example, in 2022, so a whole year before moving, and we didn't have an exact move date because of different like logistics and paperwork that Alex had in the US as a Greek citizen who moved there. So we didn't have an exact time frame, but I came for 6 weeks, for example, in 2022, as we hosted two retreats in the early summer. And I kind of had that mindset of like, okay, let me try to settle in a little bit more and find a routine or, you know, do things that I would normally do in my regular life as almost like an experiment or a test. So to build that confidence. Even someone asked me recently, like, oh my gosh, you drive here? And I was like, yeah, I do. And I was thinking about it, but actually I started getting myself comfortable with this in 2021, rented my first car by myself, took myself on a little road trip, like just started building the confidence. So we don't always get to do that, but there's ways you can kind of slowly, you know, build confidence and, you know, build up, you know, your mindset. And then the other part was, so I'm spiritual and have a lot of faith and, you know, work a lot on my mindset and subconscious beliefs and things like that. But I also am very practical and with running a business and looking at finances. So there was those practical conversations with myself and also my partner of like, okay, like, let's look at numbers. How is this actually going to work? What if this scenario? What if that? And so actually feeling, I don't want to use the word safe, but feeling like we've thought some things out and we have some loose framework around the vessel. So
preparation, that was important. Right?
Preparation.
Preparation and just acknowledging like those things. And I think it's helpful because Alex probably has a really good idea since he's from there, what hoops maybe you'd have to jump through just logistically how things are set up there. So, because everybody has the same idea. They go to a place that they love and they're like, I could live here. Like, I want to live here. This is great. You're on vacation. You're on that high. Like, why not? Why couldn't I do it? So I'm sure it was helpful to get some realistic, well, this is what happens when you do live here. And I'm sure it's different for every season. So being in there in the summer would look different from being in the winter. And people don't think about that when they're on vacation. They're just like, this is how it is.
Every day.
Yeah. It's a beautiful Greek vacation. So bringing some of that grounded reality to, wait, living here is different than vacationing here. Right. So was that a bit of a culture shock for you when you started to actually really immerse yourself in living in Greece?
Well, so first back to Alex, yes, it's helpful because he's Greek and he's lived here, but he had already been gone 6 years. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of ways, he was completely restarting too. And, you know, and just like a different mindset, like having a partner, like we brought our cats, and that's minor. It's not like children, but, you know, there's just a totally different way of living than what he lived, mm-hmm. you know, before me. So I think we're both learning a lot. And then also like having businesses and things, like it's a whole new part of the system. He, he wasn't familiar with before, you know, leaving. So we're learning a lot actively in the process. And that's the classic joke, like, yeah, Greece, people always say Greece is for vacation, not for living, because to your point, it's like there's all these factors that you actually have to deal with when you're living here full time. And I mean, luckily for us, I love specifically where we live, beachside town and outside of Athens. So I have the access to things and activities, entertainment, you know, just big community. And then also the quietness of, you know, where we live and being by the beach. So for me, the lifestyle piece of just waking up and be able to walk by the water, it, you know, automatically improved my life just by that alone. So that really helps. And, you know, I think we haven't, I mean, knock on wood, but we haven't had a harsh winter. I mean, it's still only end of March, but we've had nice, mild winter weather. So, you know, at least I didn't have to deal with anything in terms of that reality. But I tried, and now I would say over a year, it's like I try to remind myself and just stay, keep with the gratitude. And it's really easy to just get in your same busy bee mode of doing your things and you know, getting stressed out with the day to day. And I just try to pause to remind myself of, yeah, how lucky I feel and how grateful I feel to live here, and almost keep the vacation mindset, if that makes sense.
Oh,
so
I like that.
Yeah. So in the beginning, I felt a vacation mindset 100% because it was a place I only came on vacation. So my list thought pattern was very rooted in that. So it took a while for that to kind of, you know, fade. And then I kind of started noticing just being in more of a routine, which is good. And I craved routine, but I was like, I want to keep the vacation mindset of like, it's a Tuesday night, let's do something, like not just be in a Monday to Friday that, you know, just the same old that I was doing before.
Well, it's also two different lifestyles, right? The American work, what is it? Work to live? Live to work.
Live to work.
Live to work. And then the Greek, which is work to live, and just go out there and really, you know, you have those late dinners that you go to, and they're consistently doing that. I feel like even, especially in the summer, but getting out there and just socializing and having that time together, coffees. You go to coffee with people and you sit in a cafe for, you know, an hour or two and just have coffee, which is here. You just grab your coffee and go. I think it's really rare that you sit down and have a coffee, especially now. Everybody's hustling and busy and trying to get everything done. And so it's a slower lifestyle. And I think you really bring that to your stories, which is why I like watching your stories so much on Instagram, because not only does it connect me to Greece, which I miss so dearly, but also you have this pace about you, which is like, hey, I still got to get my stuff done. I'm working towards this. I'm working towards my goals, but also, you know, let's slow it down a little bit. What are we grateful for? Isn't this beautiful? Like, I can't believe you're so grateful in every post that you do about how much gratitude you have about where you are. And it's infectious. I'm like, yeah, I can go out there and see the gratitude in my everyday life too. So I'm thankful that you bring that every day to your stories. And I really encourage everybody who is curious about Greece and wants to know about the journey or more about Kat, go to her stories, because she is so consistent about posting and bringing that. And so it's one of the stories where I'm like, I always tap on that bubble first because I'm excited to see it. Yeah. So thank you.
Well, thank you for that reflection. Yeah, I do love sharing. And part of like, yeah, I love spreading that joy and sharing. And it is something like I'm actively trying to find the balance and what works for me and what works for me in each season, because with, you know, my business, we're seasonal. We are very busy in the summer. There's a huge ramp up like right now. And at the end of last year was more quiet. And so I'm trying to find that flow with that. And then also embracing lifestyle here, which is very social. You know, people are enjoying themselves, which is great. They're working hard also, but they're finding time to be social and just things slow you down. Like the food is fresh, it expires, so you go to the store more often. the store, it's like you're walking because there's no parking. And, you know, you're weighing, someone is weighing each item of your produce and tagging it. And you're, you know, waiting in a line with the other like old ladies at the supermarket. And so it's like things are just, and then you go to the cheese counter and then you go to the meat counter. It's amazing, but it slows you down. And I think that's the beauty and the part you have to embrace. And literally you can do less stuff each day because that one activity is taking you a bit longer than, you know, what I was used to of doing one Trader Joe's Whole Foods run on a Sunday and never going back until the next Sunday.
Week, yeah. You told the funniest story. And by the way, she brings so much realness to life in her stories because I was cracking up, not at you, my dear, but just
yeah, it's listening okay if it was
to your story. Because I imagined in my head, she went, I think, to the hair salon and she was parked or she had to park, you know, parallel and she parked on the side. And she said, and then I was trying to get out of this parallel parking situation, right? And I could just imagine, I was like, oh, somebody blocked her in. Like somebody just parked right up there and she's just sandwiched in between two cars. But that's how what I imagined. Tell me what happened with that.
Oh, no, it is. I wish that was the case because it wouldn't be my fault.
Oh, what happened?
Okay, so I was going to my hair appointment and I hadn't found a hair place in over a year. So I'm, you know, since I left California. So I was like, I was super excited. And I have never been to this area. I was like, oh, this looks like what could be a spot. But like, if a spot looks good and it's open, there's probably something wrong. Just rule of thumb.
Be aware. Yeah.
If it's like a primetime spot and it's vacant, there's probably something wrong. Because usually primetime spots, it's because you're seeing someone leave right when you're getting there. Otherwise, there's a reason no one's parked there. So now I know. So I was like, I for sure can fit in this spot. And I'm not a confident parallel parker. And I'll just say that, like, I'm sweating thinking about this because also, you know, there's cars waiting for you, all that stuff. Luckily, this road was not busy because that would have been a nightmare. So somehow, basically to set up the scene, which I should have took a picture, there was, and I don't know why the road was like this. There was a bolted metal trash can. So it's like, imagine like a metal rod and mm-hmm. then there's a metal yep. trash can. Okay. But it's not a park. It's just in the middle of the road. And then there's somehow it looks like a car could fit between two curbs, but I don't think it can. So this is, and then the spot I was looking at was right behind the setup. And there's a car parked behind. I was like, I can sure fit. Somehow I got myself in, but I wasn't fully in. So I was like, oh, I can't park here. And I was like, I need to leave. But then I couldn't get out. I there's two curbs on each side, a car behind me, this metal trash can. And I didn't know, didn't matter what I tried. I was like doing these micro moves. Nothing was happening. And I was dying. So like someone is for sure taking a smoke break and laughing and calling all their friends and telling them about this stupid person trying to park their car. So I'm sweating. I eventually, after 10 minutes, I was panicking, but I was also laughing at myself. But I was like, I actually need to like get my car out of here and I'm late for my appointment. So I end up FaceTiming my partner, Alex. Luckily, he answered and I was like, okay, do not judge me. I'm about to flip my camera and show you what I'm working with. Can you please tell me how to get out of this?
Oh my gosh.
The look on his face, was, I can't even describe the confusion, the disappointment, the honest concern for my well-being of how I ended up like this. And anyway, with his help, I managed to get out. And anyway, it was the funniest thing, but also just so like you're in a foreign country. I mean, it's a country I'm familiar with, but you're still like you're learning, you're in a new place, learning new things, driving in a culture that is driving differently, parking differently, and then you get yourself wedged in. And it's just
I love stories like that because those are like typical kind of little things that happen in Greece just those like little things like that. I don't know. I've had many of those in my time in Greece. One in particular, when we were on our way to one of the smaller islands, and I had rented a car. We were in Athens. I was dropping it off, trying to find a parking garage near Piraeus, and I found one, and it was just like literally, it looked like one car garage, right? I'm sure it went down, but it just, and there was just a guy standing out. I was like, oh, I guess this is it. I found it online. And so I was talking to him. I like gave him the keys. And then he's like, okay, just I'll be here. And I think he gave me a number, like just a phone number on it, on a piece of paper. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty Greek, right? Like, this is just, and we got on the ferry and I was sitting there and I panicked because I realized I just gave some stranger who I didn't even really know if he worked there a brand new rental car, and he gave me a phone number on a piece of paper, which at the time seemed legit because I'm like, this is Greece, this is how it works. But there was no confirmation thing on the paper. And so I started panicking, looking for the teeny tiny piece of paper with the phone number that said, just call me when you get back and I'll come down if it's not open. I'm like, who is this? I was so panicked. I like got sick to my stomach. Like, oh my gosh, no. What did I do? Reached in my pocket on the other side. It's the name of the company in small letters and a confirmation like number with his, you know, number on it. But I was just like, oh my gosh, I need to be more aware of those things. But I was so panicked. We were just trying to make the boat, as I feel like I'm always doing in Greece. Just like, just trying to make it, just trying to make it on the boat. Yeah, just trying to make the boat, which if you haven't tried to make a boat in Greece, have you even lived? Because I think everybody has had the panic of trying to make the ferry. Somehow.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah.
I think though, good little segue into traveling in Greece, because I think like why you would want even someone to help you plan your trip is for stuff like this, because Greece, like, it has everything, and how the travel is set up, it's a lot of small family run businesses, small and medium sized businesses. There's no like huge corporations. So how everyone works is so different. A little piece of paper with a phone number, like, actually might be the process. And like, you know, it was the process. And that's the peace of mind that someone who like has contacts, has their partners, knows how it works, knows how to track people down and can vet things for you, is huge. Because yeah, that anxiety on the boat, you know, doesn't just go away. It's like you're freaking out.
Panic. Full flight fight system response was on. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna throw up. I just gave my car to a random stranger on the street and he's like, here's my number. Like, obviously not the case. I got my car back, but still.
Right. Yeah. The parking garages though here are very much like that, because every time I go into the city, I have my few parking places if I end up driving. And it's the same thing. You're just giving the keys and you walk away. And it's like always like it doesn't look like a great parking situation. And you're just like, well, I think this is it. So yeah,
that's it. That's why it felt incomplete somehow, especially here. You go in to the garage, you pretty much park yourself, and then you get a ticket that says, obviously,
you keep your keys.
You keep your keys. You keep your keys. You take your ticket. So yeah, it was, especially because I was leaving it overnight, it was a little bit scary, but it all worked out. And this brings us to, you know, by the way, Kat, could you give us some tips? Could you give us like your top 10 tips for going to Greece and traveling to Greece and what you found collectively have been helpful for people?
Oh my gosh. It's hard to come up with a list of 10.
Mm-hmm.
But I was kind of, some of the questions or thoughts you had, I was kind of thinking about some of those things. And I think it's really interesting because, so Greece is a country I hope to explore every corner by the time I die, but that would probably be very difficult because it's so many islands, around 200 inhabited islands. Mainland, so much untapped gems and amazing history and culture to explore. So the real question of like where to start is a big question. And I mean, the main thing I would say for those that are coming from the US, because of how far it is, the travel, and then generally speaking, I would say most of our clients have anywhere from 8 to 12 days, like on average. And mm-hmm. then the occasional, you know, honeymoon or bigger trip might be 3 weeks. So I think with the time that we have when we travel abroad also kind of dictates how we might set up that itinerary. And so, yeah, with Greece, it's interesting because, a lot of amazing places to discover, they're just maybe a little bit too far if you only have 2 weeks, because we want you to enjoy your time here and actually unwind, have your adventure, but also be able to get that R&R and, and not have you just on every train, car, boat all day long, every few days. So I guess thinking about some tips is, I guess, how we start with clients is really chatting and getting to know them, because there's, you know, for me at least, there's no cookie cutter Greece itinerary that you probably see online or on Pinterest or something. Mm-hmm. Because it really just depends on your intention for the trip, you know, why you're going, you know, what you hope to get out of it, the feeling. I always like to ask people, which some people are like, the feeling, like, what do you mean? But the vision, the feeling, because some people, they're here for like a history and culture, go get them trip. Other people, it's like, I have a busy, stressful life, or I'm leaving my kids back for a week and I just want to sit with my partner and have some good food and culture and beach time, you know? So it just really depends on the intention and the vision. So really we start with that and we explore that, because what we recommend and destinations, the activities available, all the things, et cetera, really starts with, you know, our client and the person and what they really hope to experience. Mm-hmm. So we layer that with then time of year. So a lot of people when planning, they generally don't have flexibility, at least from what I've seen. It's like, I can travel in September. I can travel these 10 days in May. So if we're working with that, then, you know, we're layering in the time of year and considerations for that. If they have more flexibility, then that's fun too. But generally speaking, I think one of your questions was, when's the best time to go? And people love to ask that. And I mean, you know this too. Greece is really a year-round destination, which is incredible. We have all types of climates. So Greece has a ton of microclimates, a ton of different regions, but really amazing places to explore for every season. And also, for example, in the Athens area, it's very mild also in the winter and fall. So it's great, you know, even if you want to see the sea and all that stuff, it's still great even in those winter, you know, air quote, months. So I will say there is no like best time. It just depends on the intention. However, most people think of the islands, Greek summer. So obviously with that in mind of a Greek island hopping trip, we love to look at May. I would say maybe a late April, but generally May to October as your time of year to travel if you're looking for island experiences.
Yeah. And do you get a lot of people who come to you and they're like, Santorini and Mykonos? Everybody's talking about Santorini and Mykonos. Everybody, when they come to me, I know they're like, I guess I should go to Santorini and Mykonos. But those are kind of two different paces of islands, like from what I remember being on Santorini and Mykonos.
So what's interesting, I do think because EA Retreats offers these really unique wellness retreats, and then if you do follow me, people get a sense of, you know, what I'm doing and the vibe. So it's funny. I don't think I attract people who are looking for cookie cutter experiences. They're looking for custom, unique, you know, experiences. And that doesn't mean they don't ask me, hey, what's the real deal? So I'll share what I think is the real deal with those places. So I think it depends time of year and also, again, intention. If someone's just asking because those are the two names they recognize and know, then we explore that more. Like, you know, is there something particular that caught their interest? Or a lot of times people just want to hear what the island has to offer and why they've heard so much about it. So, And I'll tell you my theory of what I think is going to happen with those islands. So I know. Stay tuned.
This is exciting.
Everyone.
Yeah.
I know. This is fun. So Santorini, we'll start there. I love this island. I'm actually hosting a tour in May called Cat's Favorites Tour. It's my first more travel-based retreat, whereas normally the retreat, we're based in one location and we're doing more wellness programming, you know, inward looking, slowing down. The tour, we're doing three islands plus Athens, and it's across 9 days. And I love Santorini, and I love the favorite parts of Santorini, which are, you know, not just going to Ia Village and seeing the sunset with everybody and calling it a day. So I'm really excited to take people there. And the view, so Santorini is the island with the blue domes that we see in all the marketing, and the cliff view for those that can't remember what that looks like. So the views are amazing. And other islands do have some of those high point villages with amazing views like that. However, I do love Santorini. And for me, that will never get old.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there's a lot of caveats with it. One, it's like Mykonos, higher end and pricier because of its fame, because of, you know, what they've built, because of, you know, how equipped they are for the tourism. So you are going to spend more there. And there's more luxury options, which I love because not all islands have luxury options. And you might want a luxury experience and amazing chefs and amazing dining. So it really just depends what you're looking for. It is known to be romantic. Definitely agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I love a Santorini situation of a romantic room with a terrace, maybe an outdoor like plunge pool or jacuzzi situation, amazing views. And you have that like really nice home base and actually spend time in your room. Because a lot of times I hear travelers like, well, I won't spend any time in my room anyway. But I would say in this location, you definitely should, and to enjoy the views, which is the main point of being there. And during the day, there can be a lot of tourists if there's cruise ships, for example. So it's kind of nice to have during the hottest part of the day to have your little sanctuary, have a coffee, enjoy the view, a glass of wine, read your book. Life's good, you know?
Yeah,
you're in Santorini. Yeah, so
I love it.
So there's a lot of gems. And I think if you go like an April, a May, even in early June, you know, it's really lovely, as well as in November. Like Santorini is still mostly open, again, weather dependent, depending how the season goes. But going in late October and early November could be really nice. I could go on and on. I will share one thing. So last year I was there to visit, you know, I love to do boots on the ground research, check out properties, hotels, try restaurants.
You poor thing.
I know.
That's so difficult for you.
So
hard. Yeah.
And I was there over the Easter weekend. I didn't actually stay on Easter, but I was there through some of the pre-Easter events. And I went with some friends into one of the villages where local people still live. A lot of people have that misconception that no one lives there year round. And a lot of people live there year round. And a lot of people who are from that island live there year round. And it was so beautiful and so cultural. And it was like the real, you know, Santorini. And so, yeah, I think it's, I think, again, there's a lot of like caveats to what I'm saying, because it also can be very hot, very crowded, and maybe sometimes overpriced, or you just have to be prepared for the spend for the high season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of things, again, just getting in alignment if this place is really in alignment for your trip. Yeah, I will share my theory after we talk about Mykonos, which I'll just touch on. It's famous for its party culture. Again, the dining, the going out, the luxury lifestyle, like the yacht culture. Again, pricing has matched that and also can get very crowded. If you go in an shoulder time, April, May, and earlier, later season, it's lovely. It's lovely when it's not full. The town, Mykonos town, the little Hora, the main village, is so picturesque. It has so much history there. A lot of things to discover on the far side of the island where actually the resorts aren't located, where there's actually a lot of just, you know, the land and sea. So I think there's a lot of beauty still there, but obviously when it's filled with a bunch of people who are with intent of partying, if you're not there to party also, that might not be in alignment and very fun. But right. if you're there to have party till 8 a.m. and dance your booty off, then that might be the perfect place for you if that's your intention. So,
oh my gosh. That reminds me of a story when I was graduated from high school and we were on the ferry and we were caught up in conversation. And it was my sister and my friend. We were there for our high school trip. All of a sudden, we had heard them say, you know, it's time to get off the boat. And we're like, oh my gosh, it's time to get off the boat. And we thought we had plenty of time. Of course, we ran down there with our luggage and we're like, can we throw our, we're just, let's just jump. And they're like, nope, you're going to Naxos now, you know, like, sorry. And we were supposed to go to Ios, which is totally party island.
Yes.
I was so excited. I was like, I'm going to Ios, I'm going to go party. But no, you're going to Naxos, which completely different vibe. Like, just
not for party.
No, that's totally different vibe. We ended up staying there for so long. I don't even know how many days, but I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna find some type of party experience if it kills me. And we did. We had a great time. It was super fun. But there was a part where we got to take our cute little Jeep that we rented and go up to the mountains of Naxos, which was gorgeous. And I would have never experienced that had I not missed my exit or the ferry. Again, back to the ferries, you guys. This is not
a
drill.
If you haven't been stressed trying to get off a ferry, yeah. You haven't lived.
Exactly. So, but yeah, it was an experience that I never thought that I would ever have, especially at that time of my life. And so I really encourage anybody who's runs into those ferry situations where you might miss the ferry or you might have a travel hiccup, explore and really see what there is to offer and give your friend Kat a message, be like, uh-oh, I missed my ferry. Where do I go from here? Because those things happen. Those things happen. Yeah.
I think that's a tip, is just be ready. When they're saying that island is approaching, if you aren't good at hustling, like start packing up, get ready, because it is quick. They drop people off, take them in way faster than you think a big ferry boat could do. And I've had plenty of people who've shared that same story of missing, like didn't get off in time.
Yeah,
and then they're doing a full island circuit that day or have to sleep in a different island than planned.
Exactly, which is all part of the experience, right?
Exactly. That sounds really fun. And your little Jeep. But yeah, your intention was Ios, which I would say is like the younger sister of Mykonos. It's, you know, a big Aussie crowd, but mm-hmm. younger people, lower budget, but still the same party culture, but just not in a luxury, you know, showy way like Mykonos is.
Exactly. Oh, okay. So any other tips that you can think of offhand just when it comes to that? Otherwise, I can just ask you some more questions about what maybe I would have in my back pocket if I was like, oh, now what?
Yeah. And I'll share my myth, which kind of relates to just overall time of year. So I think with Santorini Mykonos now, especially with just social media and just the way we get information, I think there is a strong, like you can find it, the information that like, hey, maybe that there's so many other Greek islands, you know, like that narrative is strong now. So I do think that those islands, I think will get actually, they're still going to be popular, but maybe not as in demand as like 2019 and, you know, 2021. And maybe we'll see like a cool, like comeback of like interest again, you know, and this is probably over the next decade, but I just think it's going to be interesting also with climate change and like everyone saying, and not me too, like, oh, let's travel shoulder season. It's not as hot or it's not as busy. But now, because it's not as hot, a lot of people prefer that, you know, more moderate climate. Mm-hmm. So I do think, for example, July and August will actually start being a great time to go again if you want less people. Like, obviously, there's always going to be the school break, which dictates a lot of travel.
Right.
Of, you know, kids out of school. But I do think, for example, Santorini, it is hot in August, but it's I won't say empty, but it's not as full as like, as actually we start getting into September, which is kind of mind blowing. But I think word's gotten out enough to where people are kind of avoiding the peak, what we used to call the peak time. They still are peak, but I think it's going to shift. That's my theory in the next year. So we'll see.
That's interesting. Something I want to stack onto that is when I was in Greece, I was talking to one of the taxi drivers that was taking me to the airport, and he was saying that in August, Athens is fairly quiet.
Yeah.
Which I don't think people think of when traveling, especially during that time. But he's like, it's empty here. Everybody here goes on vacation. Everybody here goes to their villages or they go to different places. So is this typical, do you see, of most European countries, or is it just specifically, have you noticed, with Greece and Athens?
Well, I think the August weeks off is definitely Southern Europe. Mm-hmm. I know Italy has a similar thing. Yeah, the local people in the cities will leave because, again, the heat, it's mm-hmm. much cooler to be on the island or coastline. So I think that is true. But again, as a traveler, maybe seeing Athens for the first time, I wouldn't recommend probably someone to be in the built city for 4 days when it's summer. So, you know, that's something to take into consideration as well. So it's going to be interesting, though. I'm really curious how things will shift in the next years. And yeah, I just see like September is such a strong month here now for our tourism. And it used to not be the case. Mm-hmm. And now I just see, yeah, the numbers and the data showing like this skew into the shoulder season is strong.
Interesting. Maybe people will trade in their Hawaiian vacations for Greece vacations for November, October, right? Who knows?
Right. Who knows?
Okay. Well, I can't wait to dive into see how that pans out for the travel industry, especially Greece.
Yeah. And I think Europe overall, you know, I think it's interesting. I was looking at my notes to see, I wrote down a couple of things. I mean, we touched a little bit on like where to go, what to do. Again, I think it just really depends on the traveler, the time they have, what they're interested in, and the rest kind of follows. But if you have a specific question, happy to dive into that. But I just think it's so, you know, custom.
If you do have any questions for Kat, I would recommend reaching out to her. I don't see her as just someone who's going to help you find where to go. Kat's a coach, right? So she understands the wellness industry beyond just wellness. She really gets in there. She asks you specific questions. You're going to have some deep dives beyond just, you know, I want to go to Greece. It's tell me the intention that you have behind why you want to go on this trip, which is so much different from someone just saying, hey, I want to go to Greece. Tell me where to go. Which I'm sure you have those too, but at the same time, I still see you as taking your time with every individual to curate something that will be meaningful for them in the long term and not something that's just cookie cutter, scheduled out, this is what you're going to do, and that's that. So reach out to her if you have any more questions, and she's very open. So just, I thank you so much for coming on here and just kind of doing that exploration. I have some little rapid fire questions that I want to ask you, if that's okay, if we can go over those.
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right. So how do you recharge your battery? I know you're busy with the wellness retreats, and that's all a great part of touching into that. But how do you recharge your battery specifically?
Yeah, working on developing that more. But I would say, I think of it in two different ways. I think of like daily, like the daily, and I've been using this term, my daily non-negotiable is my morning walk. And I was walking pretty much daily last year, but I kind of claimed it at the end of last year of like when I was feeling, I think, a little run down and just like pulled in a lot of directions. I was like, this is a non-negotiable because I feel so different if I get sunlight, or even if it's not sunny, but if I get out, fresh air, me time, I use it as just me time. So whatever I feel like, you know, if it's just quiet time, calm music, podcast that's funny, maybe a podcast that's more business oriented or travel oriented, whatever I'm into, whatever I need. So, I would say that is kind of my recharge or really like prep for the day. And then the other piece, which is more probably I would say like weekly, is friends, time with friends, social connection, the community, which I think I mentioned I'm building and working on. And, you know, that's an active piece that I'm looking to build the foundations of more here. And also just, you know, the self-care in terms of like the classic self-care we think of with, you know, massage or even getting my hair done the other day, mm-hmm. you know, just having those things that make me feel good about myself, or like the body work, the literal releasing tension, my workouts, things like that. So movement. Kind of the basics, but the basics work, the basics work. And if I have, intentionally carving out time off, a retreat, things like that, travel with my partner that's not work related, those kind of things. But those are, I would say, you know, obviously not daily or weekly, but mm-hmm. quarterly or half year.
Beautiful. I like that you gave two different views on that. Short, like the ones that are quick, and then the nice long-term ones that you want to focus on in the future. So this question has been coming up that I love asking people because I think it's so important to dive deeper on the things that spark curiosity. And so what's the most interesting thing that you've learned recently?
Yeah. Interesting thing I've learned. I'm learning a lot being here, like parallel parking.
Yeah.
still working on that. So it's interesting because I feel right now very segmented in my learning. I just actually came back from a yoga teacher training in Bali. I was there in February. So it started in January online, and then we had a 16-day immersion retreat. And so that was a whole world of learning and diving into myself and my own story. And it's really a way to open up in my own inward experience, as well as, you know, also into yoga philosophy and yoga history. So mm-hmm. I found all that very interesting. I've practiced yoga for a very long time, but it was really amazing to kind of piece together all these other parts that I didn't know about. At the same time, running parallel is like in business. I'm learning so much all the time about business, how to run a business, different ways to, you know, manage and grow. And so that's been, I right now am particularly drawn to learning about business. I love listening to podcasts about, from entrepreneurs and things like that. So how, you know, finances, how do you manage all of that? So I think, I find that particularly interesting right now. And then there's all the like more health, wellness, mindset area that I really enjoy learning about. And and find interesting as well. I love psychology. My background's in biopsychology and neuroscience. So I love, tapping into that. So there's not like one particular thing, but kind of those three areas right now that feel like present.
Mm. I like that the focus is in the three different buckets so you can fill that multi-passionate part of you too.
Yes. We didn't even talk about Greece, but I think that's obvious. There's also the Greece travel culture bucket. But yeah, the multi-passionate, I guess, follows me throughout.
Through your learning too. Love it. So do you have something that, you know, you're working on right now that you want to share with the audience that they can, or the audience, the listeners, that they can dive deep in learning more about you or what you could be offering in the future?
Yeah. So 2024 retreats, we still have some that have open spaces. So you can check that out through Kat Kalkas or through EYIA Retreats, EYIA Retreats, on Instagram or .com, online. And so, there's a lot of amazing opportunities there. I am personally teaching on some. I am going to be on all of them though. So, that will be amazing. And then, there is something coming soon for those that are curious about what moving to Greece would look like, interested in what life is like here. And so right now, you can sign up to be the first to know about that resource. And it's going to be really the first thing I've seen of this topic of really like, how do you make this move? And considerations, not just the logistic, practical visa, how does this work, but also on the emotional side. So really like the fear, a lot of questions I get from people who are considering it is, yeah, like, how do you overcome that fear or the what ifs or, you know, the questions you're asking me, like that process, what were you telling yourself? How did you boost your mindset or get your family to rally behind you? So there's going to be that part, which I don't think is, like I said, I've seen something that's so integrated with also the practical side of actually moving and specifically to Greece. So I'm considering it. And this is the first time I'm fully talking about it. So you heard it here first.
Yes.
You heard it here first.
We love a breaking news story. Yeah. So this is exciting.
Breaking news. But yeah, it's basically your 101 course on how to move to Greece. So it's really for the person who's has an idea like, I want to know more about that so I can make an informed decision or make an aligned decision for me. Or you've already decided and this is going to be the things you need to know before arriving or upon those early, you know, weeks of arrival to really help you set up and saving you time, energy, and money, not running around trying to figure out all these different pieces, but it just all being in one spot. And yeah, and my partner and I are creating it together and produce the course together. And so it's coming very soon. We're in the last stages and it's very exciting. And I think it's going to be a huge help because I receive questions all the time about it. And it was something that I was sending like 10-minute long voice memos to people. And I was like, I need a way to be able to share this and be able to support more people at the same time and have that community aspect as well of people who are, you know, in that same kind of stage. So yeah, I'm very excited.
I just got really excited listening to that. You know, once upon a time, my parents were like, you're going to go study university in Greece. That was going to be the plan for me. I wasn't going to go to school to college here. I was going to go straight to Greece and do my studies there. That was before my parents separated. Okay. And then that happened. And so it changed the plan. But I could imagine there's a set of younger generations right now who want another option of being somewhere else and doing their studies abroad or working elsewhere, living situation. Maybe they can't afford to live here in this country. It's really expensive right now. I don't know if you guys noticed, but different options. And for you to have that set up as a blueprint and add some knowledge and information and be there, I think that it's really giving people choices. And that's what we really need right now, so we don't feel totally locked into only one path. And so I think it's really great what you're doing, and I'm excited to see just the fruition and for it to all come to life and just be a part of that journey with you. So
You heard it here first. She's getting it done,
and we're going to be following your journey creating that plan. So thank you so much for, you know, inviting us in on that. That's exciting.
Yeah, so exciting. Thank you for letting me share and for your support.
Yeah. So Kat, where can everybody find you on socials and your website? Give us the deets.
Yeah. So we're on Instagram. I'm on Instagram, Kat Kalkas. And I guess Kalkas, K-A-L-K-A-S. And EYIA Retreats, EYIA Retreats on Instagram or EYIAretreats.com. And we have all about our travel planning service, all of our retreats and tours. And excited to connect with some of you over there.
Thank you so much, Kat. And you'll have to come on again because then we can start really getting into mindset and talking about that too. But for now, we just focused on this one topic, which I'm excited to share with everybody that's listening.
Thank you. Can't wait for next time.
Me too. Thank you so much for tuning into Twisted Plot Podcast today. I hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did bringing it to you. Before we sign off, I've got a couple of quick reminders. First, if you loved the episode, please make sure to subscribe to Twisted Plot Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. This way you won't miss out on
any upcoming episodes. Next, I'd be thrilled if you could please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your feedback not only helps me improve, but it also helps other listeners find the podcast. Don't forget to follow on social media. You can find me on Instagram at Evelyn Marley or TikTok, Evelyn Marley Coaching. This is a great way to stay connected to the community. Plus, you'll get sneak peek of upcoming episodes and some behind the scenes content. Speaking of community, I'm absolutely delighted to share that I have officially started my group coaching program. It's called Mindful Journeys, and you can find this through Mighty Networks. I also have a link in my bio of my Instagram, or if you're looking for it, please just send me an email at twistedplotpod@gmail.com. So this group is a soft place to land when shit hits the fan, because we know that it's going to hit the fan, all right? This podcast is not called Twisted Plot Podcast for nothing, okay? We are very much aware that when we go through something, it's great to have a soft place to land, and that's what I want this group coaching program to do. So whether you're a visionary dreamer, strategic realist, or habitual achiever, this program offers tailored guidance to help you navigate your plot twists and your path to success, with monthly themes focused on productivity, accountability, boundaries, finances, health, and wellness. I provide a comprehensive framework to support your growth. Each month, you'll gain access to exclusive resources, live coaching calls, and a vibrant community on Mighty Networks, all aimed at fostering a supportive environment for your ambitions. I want you to come into this group as critical thinkers. I want you to embrace your skepticism, because when we start from the beginning or we have to pick up the pieces, we need to have a clear mind in doing so. And I want this to be a safe place for you to land. So please join me. Link in bio. You can find it here in the show notes. Also, if you have any thoughts or suggestions, please send me again an email, twistedplotpod@gmail.com, or leave a voice message. And finally, if this podcast has made a difference in your day, please support by sharing it with somebody else. Because as soon as we start to share our insights and we get them out of our mind, that's when we really start to use those light bulb moments. Again, thank you so much for joining me here on Twisted Plot Podcast, and I can't wait to have you back for the next episode. Until then, keep listening, keep learning, keep engaging, and stay twisted.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next time, and remember, stay twisted.